To celebrate the 45th National Day for the Kingdom of Bahrain, what better place for the rich Gulf state and closest U.S. military ally to celebrate than Donald Trump's new Trump International Hotel in Washington, D.C., which will host the festivities for a pretty penny. We think we inquired with the Bahrain embassy about the exact price tag to secure the hotel for the event, week-long event, by the way, have received no comment back. A statement from Trump spokesman Jason Miller this week told us that to clear the air, in part, regarding such huge business deals, Donald Trump has sold all of his stock holdings in June, though those claims were not supported by any confirmation documents. Meredith McGeehee is a strategic advisor at the nonprofit Campaign Legal Center. Meredith, this is a real gray area, isn't it?
It is indeed. Yet we have 40 years of experience with previous presidents who have moved to take these issues off the table. So I'm hopeful that that will happen with President-elect Trump.
But you can't really, I don't know how you insulate yourself from a business dealing that involves millions and millions of dollars in a very high-profile hotel that has the president's name on it in town for a national holiday that has nothing to do with the United States and everything to do with keeping the Bahraini regime in power.
Well, I think it's important to differentiate between the selling of the stocks, which did not have to do necessarily that we know of with the Trump enterprise. These were other interests. The remaining interests that there are in the Trump enterprise, some are foreign, some are domestic. And so it can be a very complicated financial situation. What's not complicated, and let's be very clear here, that around most of the world, finding ways to ingratiate yourself with the leader of a country or his or her family is the way business is done in most of the world. And this is part of what has set America kind of apart. It's been that shining city on the hill, is that our traditions and our cultures and our norms beyond our laws have ensured that this kind of ingratiation and enrichment of powerful elected leaders does not happen in our country.
Well, how much of this is very difficult to prove motive and maybe less difficult to prove actual behavior? For instance, if a diplomat in negotiations with the Trump administration over a military deal were to stay in a Trump hotel, does that constitute a violation of the Emoluments Clause in the Constitution?
Well, potentially, you have any time you have a foreign entity that is doing business with the Trump enterprises, the Emoluments Clause could come into play. The lawyers are already having a field day trying to figure out how it would apply. But I would note that even President-elect Trump has noted that when you talk about conflicts of interest, there are two standards here. There's the actual conflict, and there's the appearance of a conflict. And even in his statement, President-elect Trump has talked about how it's visually important not to have these conflicts. The appearance is an important part here because it makes people question the motive. And, whether on the part of those people who are staying in the hotel or using the Trump facilities, but also in the case of the American people, this is even more difficult, I think, for the United States because you have to remember that President-elect Trump, while he did win the Electoral College, did not win the popular vote. So there are going to be millions of Americans who are suspicious from the day one. And this is not the way to make sure that the focus is on the very difficult policymaking questions that remain. So the best thing we can hope for here is on December 15th, that he does indeed announce a very strong policy for divestment and for a qualified blind trust, and that we just take these issues off the table so the questions about not only the motivations of Mr. Trump or his family, but also the motivations of those using his facilities would just be off the table so we can focus on the more important issues.
Meredith, what about the question of lost and found? I mean, does the FBI have to look at the lost and found at Trump hotels to determine if some gigantic gift came in there that would kick around for a while and maybe end up in the Trump organization at some point?
Well, this certainly would raise all kinds of questions, and I don't think anyone would probably touch that with a 10-foot pole. Because not only the questions of the Emoluments Clause, you don't know the source of where that is from, but also any other questions that would arise from any attempt to a bribery or any other kinds of activity. I'm not as worried, actually, about that aspect of it. I think, realistically, given what we've heard, the greatest concern here is that we've heard discussions, in addition to divestment and a qualified blind trust, is this notion of a firewall. And the only reason that creating a firewall between the president-elect and the business, or between the president-elect and his children and the business, the problem that that I think we just have to see how this is going to play out is there is no legal definition of what constitutes a firewall. Who gets to define what that firewall is, and is it, in fact, addressing the problems? I think this notion that someone would leave behind the money, that would somehow accrue to the Trump enterprises, is the least of our worries.
Well, the other question is, we're already, you know, these sharks are in the tank at this point. Ivanka Trump has already met with Prime Minister Shinzo Abe while she had a financial, interest in her fabric company, her fashion company.
Mm-hmm.
We're already there.
We are there, and that's why this December 15th announcement is so critical, because already the questions have been raised, and this is a distraction from what we really need to be thinking about is a country that's so divided. And we need a president that the American people, whether or not you agree or disagree with his policies, there is some agreement that he is undertaking these policies, and that his family is not abusing the power of the office for their own benefit. As I say, this is kind of what you expect in other countries, and this is the culture and norms of the United States about not having these questions raised is the way we expect our country to run. So I'm hopeful that on December 15th, those questions will be answered, and answered in a positive way. Let's keep our fingers crossed.
Meredith McGee is a strategic advisor at the nonprofit Campaign Legal Center. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.